Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Right, time for the Friday gathering now, and here in the studio I'm joined by Sinn Féin TD for Cavan Monaghan, Matt Carthy, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Bay North, Nisha O'Murray, political editor with the Irish Independent, Mary Regan, and political editor with the Journal.ie, Christina Finn. And you're all very welcome. Thanks for coming in. We'll start with the presidency, because that's where a lot of the news here at home was. So Mary, you're reporting this morning there's a bit of frustration in Fianna Fáil, and there's growing numbers now backing Bertie Ahern.
So I was speaking to many Fianna Fáil TDs and mostly TDs, a couple of senators over the past 2 days. And I was kind of taken aback, actually, the level of support that is there for Bertie Ahern. They're saying they're hearing it from the grassroots. They're hearing it from people that they're meeting in, you know, the various county shows and all the things they're going to over the course of the summer. Now, the big caveat there is, A, would Bertie himself want it? B, would Micheál Martin be willing to have Bertie Ahern? And the answer to that is a definite no. But I think what it does tell is that there's a big vacuum there in Fianna Fáil at the moment. They are watching what's going on in Fine Gael. They are wondering when they will have clarity, and that is due to come in the next 2 weeks. But they don't have a candidate that they can really sort of adhere to. A few names have been mentioned, but there's no one really that's really the party you're getting excited about, of all those names. And there's a big sense in Fianna Fáil, firstly, that they have to run a candidate. That is a very overwhelming view within the party. Secondly, there are many who want a Fianna Fáil person. They don't want somebody from the outside, a sort of high profile figure, or maybe an academic figure. They want a Fianna Fáil person. So who do you look to then? Micheál Martin is a name that they say they would all definitely get behind. He is the person they believe who could definitely win it. He's saying he doesn't want it.
Is he though? I mean, he hasn't explicitly said that, but I mean, it's fairly clear from his side.
Well, it's fairly clear, and he's made those comments sort of earlier. But I mean, the fact that the party is leaving it quite late in the day, you know, you could suspect that they might have some surprise up their sleeve. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't rule it out entirely.
Is it your sense that they got annoyed during the week when you had Heather Humphreys and Sean Kelly coming out and people supporting either one, that was a source of annoyance for Fianna Fáil?
Well, there was an annoyance, first of all, where the independents who were supporting the government came out and said they would back Heather Humphreys. So that was Michael Healy-Ray, Sean Canny, Noel Grealish. That sort of spooked them in a sense, because in this presidential election, no party is going to win it on their own party core support. Like, no one, there's no party in the Dáil above 20% support at this stage. You need a broader reach for your candidate to become elected. And then some of those independents, Michael Healy-Ray or sort of Fianna Fáil, Jean Poole, sort of, you know, so they were kind of looking into that. And then they suspected, some people in Fianna Fáil, that maybe this is a signal that there's a sort of unity candidate being put forward in Heather Humphreys, and a sort of feeling, is Micheál Martin going to ask us to back Heather Humphreys at some stage? That was a sort of a fear. So that started a conversation around, we should have our own person. And then Billy Kelleher, the Ireland South MEP, came out with his call for an urgent meeting of the parliamentary party. So that just set the text messages and the phone calls going between them. But there's another thing going on in Fianna Fáil as well, which is that, as any TDs will tell you, they're out and about the country over the summer meeting people. And they're saying that everywhere they go, anything they do, they are asked about the presidency.
Really?
And as they say themselves, it's sort of awkward because we don't have an answer. And someone said to me, I don't have the heart to tell them that I don't have a clue what's being planned.
Right.
So they're saying, first question, what's Fianna Fáil doing with the presidency? Second question is, you know, around, what about Micheál Martin? And then there's a conversation about Bertie Ahern, and they're saying they're being asked about that everywhere they go around the country.
Right.
And
Matt Carthy, are you being asked about it? Because is it Sinn Féin's view that nobody's engaged with this? That's why you haven't made a decision.
I have to say, the overwhelming number of conversations I've had over the summer months relate to people's cost of living and the struggles that they're facing in their lives. I don't think anybody has said, other than in passing, anything in respect of the presidential election.
Were you at the Virginia show?
I wasn't actually, but I have been, there would be a quite a bit of discussion in the past week in my own constituency, because obviously Heather Humphreys is from my constituency, and there'll be a lot of goodwill towards towards Heather. But if you were to ask people to list their top five priorities at this point, the presidential election isn't one of them. And that's because the presidential election isn't until likely November at this stage. People are dealing with the here and now. And to be quite frank, I think, you know, the media are clearly trying to fill the silly season and trying to fill the story gaps.
Well, it's 8 weeks within, away. 8 weeks is not a long time.
A general election is called and held and the results known within 3 weeks. So when you put it in that context, there will be a contest.
But
when
look,
all candidates are on the field, there will
Matt,
be a lot of...
It's an important job. It's our first citizen. You know, it is a big deal, isn't
it? Nobody's disputing that.
And if Fianna Fáil is spooked now, if you really wanted to put the wind up them, you'd put Mary Lou out there, wouldn't you?
Well, we're not spooked. And what we're doing is engaging in a process to ensure that at the end of the day, that we have a president that can represent Ireland and can represent the values of the Irish people and can be the type of voice that I think, in fairness to him, Michael D. Higgins has been for the past 14 years. So, yes, it is a very important position. And that's why I don't think it would be sensible for a party like Sinn Féin to answer to somebody else's drumbeat in terms of when we and how
so
we decide
take your
what
time
to,
on it.
To do.
But,
absolutely.
But do you have a personal view on whether Mary Lou should run or not?
I have personal views that change basically every day, depending on the circumstances. Like, just recall, if we were having this conversation 8 days ago, we'd be talking about Mairead McGuinness and her campaign. So things change and will change very quickly over
but
the course of
no.
the coming
you're not saying no. You're not saying no.
What I'm saying is, and I've been arguing, I'm part of the Sinn Féin leadership, and I've been engaged with quite an amount of the debate and the discussion that's been taking place within the party. And whatever option you could throw at me now, it's one of the options that's being considered, because what we want to ensure is that at the end of the day, as I say, we have a president that can represent us and can bring forward the type of forward vision. And what I would like to see more than anything at the end of the day in the Oris is a united Irelander, because I think that's going to be the big debate that the Irish people, north and south, are going to be having over the next decade.
If there was a big push in Sinn Féin for Mary Lou to run for the president, would she?
I don't know. As she has said publicly and as she has indicated to all of us, every option is on the table. We haven't got down to the discussions around personalities. Well, essentially, the debate revolves around whether Sinn Féin puts up our own candidate or whether we endorse another candidate. I think it's clear that, you know, we now see a little bit of what's happening. Fine Gael are likely, as I say, to endorse Heather Humphreys. I think that will change the tenor of the debate, because that will become very...
How so, do you think?
Because I think a lot of the discussion will naturally flow from Fine Gael's record in government, that Heather has been part of their failures in respect of so many areas, the cost of living crisis that people are currently going through, the legacy of the housing crisis, the absolute failures in terms of disability services, which are particularly acute in Heather's own constituency.
So the fact that it could be Heather makes it more attractive for Sinn Féin to put somebody forward. Is that what you're saying?
No, and I think it has changed the dynamic of the debate, because I think it is even more imperative that we have a president that actually represents a different set of values to those that the Fine Gael government of the past 14 years have
imposed. It's a really important statement of intent for Sinn Féin. You know, you've got to really put somebody forward if you want to be where you want to be, which is in government. You've got to say, well, look, we're going to put our own candidate up for this really important job.
I think the important thing is that we have a president at the end of the day that actually represents the type of Ireland that we want to see. That is obviously a united Ireland and a better and a fairer Ireland than we currently have. And as I say, that could come down to, yes, us putting up our own candidate that would represent those values and which we would ask to endorse, or supporting another candidate. And we'll make that decision in good time in order to be part of a campaign that would ultimately ensure that we have a president that we can all be proud of.
And tell me, how would you feel about Sinn Féin supporting Catherine Connolly?
I think that's an option, absolutely. As in,
you wouldn't have an issue with anything to do with Catherine Connolly that you know up to now that would be problematic for Sinn Féin.
As I say, at the moment we're looking at all options, including whether we support another candidate. The only other candidate that has secured the sufficient ballot support to be on the ballot is Catherine Connolly. So that will be part of the discussions. But ultimately, as I say, I want to see a united Irelander not only on the ballot paper, but elected as president. And that's where Sinn Féin's focus will be in the coming
weeks. And have you been able to establish what what Catherine Connolly's views are on a United Ireland.
Well, she herself has indicated that she believes a United Ireland is possible. I think it would be helpful if all candidates actually set out how they would use the presidency within the parameters of the constitution to be a voice for that new Ireland that I think is very clearly on the trajectory, and the next decade is going to be crucially important. And the presidential, the president will have a role. I don't think it should be overstated, but potentially an important role in being a voice for that new Ireland.
Right. Well, listen, let's bring in Aoife Murray here from Fine Gael. It does seem like it'll be Heather running for Fine Gael at this stage, but a lot of your councillors have been upset at how the whole process has worked, with ministers and TDs and senators coming out publicly and backing her, meaning really it's not a contest for the party, it's a coronation.
Oh, I'll come back to that. Just Mary made an important point. In terms of the election, it's not going to be a party election, because the base of support that is required is broader than any individual party at the moment, and that's really important. So whichever candidate wins this election will need to appeal to a lot of the voters and a lot of the electorate. It's also a really important office. It's a constitutional office, you know, and it carries carries responsibility and weight. So it's very important that it's contested, and it's unusual that it's not being contested. I think we really do need to see candidates from a Fine Gael perspective. There is a contest on. You mentioned councillors being unhappy. I mean, I have been contacted by both candidates. They're effectively looking for support at the moment. Nobody is, politicians, parliamentarians, councillors are entitled to voice their view as to who they would support. But there's very much a contest ongoing internally.
Have you made your decision?
Positive.
Have you?
That's very positive. Have I? Yeah. No, I'd be supporting. I've said I'd be supporting Heather.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't leave much room then. Do you see what I mean for the councillors? And you've been in that job before.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I've been a councillor, but I mean, parliamentarians and councillors are entitled to express their view, and you know, it's a democratic process. We have two really good candidates. I would know Sean Kelly a long time, because you know he's been, I've dealt with him down through the years. Both are excellent candidates, but the members, the councillors, the members, and the parliamentarians ultimately will make that decision.
And did you tell Sean really you wouldn't be backing him?
Oh, I had a discussion with Sean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a discussion with Sean.
And what reason did you give him for deciding to back
Heather? I'm not going to get into it here. I have a lot of time for both candidates. I've spoken to both of them, and they know where I stand. Mm-hmm. And they have a tough job to do. They have to get on the blower, meet candidates. It's a hustings, etc. So they
when you hear Matt talking about Heather's record in government, does that concern you? I mean, this is where this is likely to go now when it comes down to debates and so on.
Yeah. No, I expect Matt to say that, to be honest. A key part of a successful candidate will actually have to be clear that they are independent of government. That is always the office of presidency is always independent of government. Heather Humphreys, whoever wins the
Fine Gael, steeped in the Fine Gael government.
She's a member of Fine Gael, and Heather won't deny that. Mm-hmm. Heather won't deny. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's
but she'll
been
be judged on her record in government.
I think the people will judge her in the round. She has an awful lot going for her. And Sean Kelly, by the way, has an awful lot going for him as well. His work with the GAA down to the years, his work in Europe. I mean, he is on the front.
But don't be trying to sell Sean now. You've made a decision not to.
No. I made my individual decision. I made it clear. But there are a lot of members in Fine Gael, councillors, members of the parliamentary party. They have two excellent candidates to pick.
And Christina, you want to come in there?
Yeah, I was speaking to a few Fine Gael councillors who, as you said, they have a right to express their opinion, but they don't feel that it matters for much when it came down to this nomination process, because a lot of them were voicing how TDs and senators, MEPs were straight out of the traps, public declarations, taking photos of the nomination papers they were signing for Heather Humphreys, and saying that this really closed the door off to the whole process that was laid out after that National Executive meeting, that the PP, you needed a certain amount of members, but then also the councillors were meant to come in here and the National Executive. But that level of that process doesn't really matter now, and they never really got to voice their opinion. So they're kind of feeling it kind of comes back to this age-old concern within the party about, you know, the PP holding too much power and wielding too much power and having that sort of coronation process. A lot of councillors I spoke to would have liked to have seen a contest, would have liked to have a husting, saying that they haven't had that sort of debate within the party for a very long time. But they were also harking back to other competitions, such as Leo Varadkar and Simon Coveney, even Simon Harris being appointed leader, that it is very much the PP that are deciding all of these big major decisions. And on the back of the piece of talking to a few Fine Gael councillors, a few Fianna Fáilers got in touch with me saying, well, isn't it nice actually that the PP seem to be consulted on these things, because we're certainly not being consulted when it comes to our presidential candidate. And speaking to Mary's point that calling for this meeting, saying that it's very much Micheál Martin holding his cards close to his chest and not really letting anyone in on the plan that they have in place. And like, you can be sure that Micheál Martin does have a plan. It's just one.
Well, they're waiting each other out. Matt there, yeah, and Sinn Féin and Micheál Martin. That's what's going on.
It's a strategy.
It's like a game of chicken.
We're actually doing the opposite. We're engaging with all of our members and elected representatives. We're ensuring that when we make a decision that we will have a united party to ensure that whichever candidate we back, as I say, wins the presidential election. I think there's a lot of navel-gazing going on in different political parties, and they're trying to determine what would be the best option for them as a party. What we're trying to do is identify what's the best option for the Irish Irish people. So
when,
as I say, Sinn Féin will make a decision in the next couple of weeks, and we'll do so on the back of the deliberations that have taken place. But we'll do so in the knowledge that in reality this will be a month long, very intense campaign, and there is nothing to be gained by any party, in my view, making a knee-jerk decision or
it's
nomination.
It's a strategy of coming out later in the day, both from Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil, to not come out with a candidate in the middle of August when reporters and newspapers, as you've seen with Gareth Sheridan's campaign, and we're talking about Heather Humphrey's record, if Bertie Ahern, there'd be plenty of fodder to go back in over the past. And coming out late in the day seems to be a political strategy.
So what is the process? Like, how will the decision be made?
So we've had a consultation process with the entire party membership, and essentially the leadership are now going through that consultation process. And as I say, any potential option, any has expressed a view. So there are some members and some branches and some elected representatives have indicated that they would like us to support a non-party member for candidate. But then there are different views as to who that may be, and
who ultimately makes the decision, though?
The Sinn Féin Ard Cóirle will make the decision, which is the representative body of the party membership.
So you'll decide whether you're going to run a candidate or back somebody else, and who that candidate will be.
So the Ard Cóirle will make a deliberation in terms of whether or not then there will be a separate short window for nominations in the event that we decide to put forward a candidate. But as I say, we're putting the horse before the cart in terms of we're having the engagement with party members before we actually get to a point. What is happening in other parties is essentially, it appears to me, that the party leader is deciding what's happening, and then the members are being asked to get in line in that respect, even on contest, to be fair, Nisha.
Who's the non-candidate?
Well, Sean Kelly, and someone who I've good time for. Well, Fine Gael have made their decision in respect, because it's clear under the Fine Gael rules that once the PP majority, a substantial majority, back a candidate, that candidate is going to be selected.
And it's up to the candidates to decide to secure their support. That's democracy.
That's fair
like
enough.
It or love it.
That's fair
or
enough. But if I go on to Paddy Power or Boyle Sports, I won't get any odds on the matter. You will actually get a number of options
and
good value on some of them, Nisha.
Do you want to name them?
So when will that decision be taken? Is there a date for the meeting of the
Ard Cóirle? No, in the next couple of weeks. Claire, as I say, I understand this is August, and I understand that journalists have copy to fill, but we're basing our deliberations on the actual contest timeline.
Well, in
fairness,
we'll
make our decision in good time.
It was politicians phoning us to come on the radio this week to declare, you know, who they were supporting. So it's on the minds of plenty of people.
Of politicians,
as I
say, the vast majority of people. And they will engage in the presidential election in the final weeks of that campaign, no doubt about it. And the Irish people do hold a very high value to their president. They want somebody who will be a voice for them. But ultimately, right now, what people are concerned about is how their wages are expected to stretch to meet all the expectations on them and the ever-increasing
and
costs,
I think,
as they see it.
On the day of the Leaving Cert results, and I think you had a Leaving Cert in your own house, Matt, and I hope everything went well there, you'll be looking towards college places, accommodation, and Nisha, like we hear about, €700 a month this week quoted to a student to share a bedroom with five other people, or, if you don't fancy that, a four-hour daily commute. I mean, would you blame people for getting through college as quickly as they can and getting out of Ireland if you're a young person, if that's what you're facing?
Okay, so yeah, just it's great. The Leaving Cert results are out this morning. Lots of people waiting. So it's great that they're out, and best wishes to everybody receiving results today. In relation to accommodation, I mean, look, CAO applications are up 8%. That's positive. More people going to college, more people applying. That's all positive. But there's no doubt about it. There is pressure on student accommodation. I mean, housing in general, as we know, was a big issue in the general election. Student accommodation is part of that. The rent-a-room scheme is positive. The numbers are good in terms of rent-a-room. There's a new housing strategy or a student accommodation strategy coming from the government. They're working on it. It's being worked on at the moment. I don't have any particular detail on what's in it, but it is definitely a big issue. There's no doubt about it.
There's a real growing inequality here for people who are outside of the big university towns. Isn't that the reality here?
One of the challenges, and I've engaged with DCU on this, and it is expensive for universities to build accommodation now. And the state is looking at working more with those universities, state-owned accommodation, state-sponsored accommodation. That's just one way of trying to progress and deal with it. But I accept the point in terms of, like, if you're living down the country, it's fine if you're going to UCD. Although it's expensive to go to UCD, it's expensive to get to DCU, those universities. But it's going to need resources. And look, there's a strategy being developed at the moment.
But unfortunately, I think it was November 2022 that Simon Harris came out to say that the government was weighing in and going to provide state funding for student accommodation, which had been long talked about. As in, it kind of feels like it's the lack of urgency even around the housing crisis in general. Is we're talking about this every single year, and we have the same vox pops of young students every year trying to look for accommodation, be it digs and all the rest. And I think they have a strategy there announced after cabinet that any of the state-funded apartment blocks that are going to be built within universities are going to be, you know, a certain design, that there's going to be shared accommodation. You know, you're going to share a room, share bathroom facilities, share kitchenette to try and, you know, squeeze as many people and students.
And keep the cost down.
Which is great that that's being talked about now in June. But, you know, from 2022 to now, and when exactly is that actually going to be coming online for students? Because the housing crisis is just getting worse in terms of the competitiveness of just people trying to get apartments and then student accommodation. Mm-hmm. And that's not even mentioning the change in the rent rules that are coming in next year, where you're going to see areas like Maynooth and Galway and all those sort of college areas where there's students looking for student accommodation over a year or a shorter period. And those new rent rules will kick in that if a tenant leaves of their own accord, that landlord can
put the rent up.
So over the next couple of years, we could be seeing even higher rents for those in-demand areas in and around colleges and universities.
Yeah. You see, your heart would sink when you hear people talking about four-hour commutes, Mary, because part of the whole learning experience of going to college is that interaction and social growth that you have when you're sitting around with your peers, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I remember getting my Leaving Cert results and the CSO points coming out and heading off to Dublin to college from Galway. And it is the most exciting time of your life. You know, the world ahead of you, you're entering into your formative years. And I remember starting in DCU, not only did I get a great education there in journalism, but I learned an awful lot from my peers. And the people who are in my class in DCU are people who have become very successful journalists, editors, broadcasters in this country. And, you know, we spent a lot of time educating each other, sitting around in the canteen between lectures, discussing, you know, what we just learned. And like, to me, that's the point of a university. Like, it's a sharing of ideas. And if you're on the CityLink heading back down to Galway on an evening or an afternoon after your lecture, you're not having those conversations. And it's not just the social life. You know, I remember being part of the Spanish Society in DCU, meeting great Spanish friends, learning a lot about the language and the culture. And you just would worry that whole university life is slipping away, and the inequality then, because some people will get to experience that if they have the privilege and if they have the money and they can pay the high rent, and then other people will not get the same experience because they're commuting, driving up and down. And I just think it's very sad that that aspect of college life is being missed out on, because from my own personal perspective, that was as important to me, if not more important to me, than the actual learning in a lecture theatre.
Like, you've got to think that's going to influence dropout rates as well, because you can only sustain that for a certain period of time. And going to college is such a huge life change that if you pile on a massive commute on top of that, it's for some people, I'd say it's just going to be too much.
And retention rates are hard to keep. You know, that's one of the key goals within university. So adding any additional pressures onto that is only going to make
Matt,
it worse.
Go ahead there.
Yeah, so the problem is, so for obviously today is a big day for students involved. The bigger day, arguably, for many families will be next Wednesday when the college courses are offered. And to be quite frank, a lot of parents have their heart in their mouth, because they simply, if a child gets their preferred course, which should be, you know, one of the happiest moments in their life, the stress that that could add to the family's finances will be immeasurable. And, you know, I think, as somebody has said, government have basically taken the goodness out of what should be a really positive experience. And, you know, notwithstanding their failures to actually invest in student and purpose student accommodation on campus, which should and could have happened to a much greater degree than now, the failure across the board in terms of the housing crisis has meant that there have been additional pressures. Still, the students who get their offers next week don't know what their fees will be. The only indication from government is that there will be €1,000 more than last year, at a time of a huge cost of living crisis, when fees should be being reduced to a view to abolishing them.
So we haven't had clarity on that. You're right.
Absolutely not. And then, as Christina said, we have the new changes to the rent pressure zones, which mean that many students will be paying more rent than they would have otherwise have been doing. And then you have the additional failures in terms of, so even those students who are commuting, because I know some people in my own constituency, which is maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours from Dublin, depending on where you are. So some come to, because we can't afford accommodation, let's put a set of wheels under you. Government have actually increased the cost of fuel already this year and plan to do so again. So rather than providing students and their families with the supports, government have been making their lives harder. And all of this ultimately boils down to the lack of student specific accommodation, particularly on campus. We have some universities that have planning permission to deliver student accommodation, but can't get through the bureaucracies and the financial difficulties to actually provide that, simply because government haven't intervened. We have technical universities that don't have the ability to actually borrow to build student accommodation, notwithstanding the fact that they have the land in order to do so.
There's £100 million put in the NDP 2024 to 26 for three of the big universities to build on campus students, you know, university supported accommodation with the support of government. They're at planning, they have their planning. Yes, they have to get on with it and build it, but the resources have been put there to
all
do
right.
that. Okay.
I have to leave it there because we've come to the end, but thank you very much, all of you, for coming in. Nisho Murray, Fine Gael, Matt Carthy, Sinn Féin, Mary Regan, and Christina Finn. We have to take a quick break.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And that brings us to the end of the programme, which was produced by Amy Ryan, researched by A.B. Philpin Bowman. Our broadcast coordinators, Anna Rose Charlton, and Gar Duffy was on sound. Now let's get some Friday sounds from Ciara King.